pour one out for confessional queen Jasmine because she just got robbed. Plus, Nicole and Laurel are so back on. Brad walks around naked. Steve is building workout equipment because the gym that they have is just not good enough. Ace sleeps in weird positions and wears great clothes. We play an insane game of musical chairs. Kara strong arms the vote. Cam offers herself up. And a double elimination leads to some shifting of stars. It's the challenge. All Stars 4, Episode 6 recap coming up right now. What up, my fellow challenge lovers? Welcome to The Challenge Historian, where we dive deep into all things MTV's The Challenge, past, present, or future, if it's happening in The Challenge universe. We are here to document it. I am your host and dedicated Challenge Historian, Jacob Hollaball. Thank you so very, very, very much for being here with me on this beautiful, nearly summer Wednesday to discuss All Stars 4, Episode 6. We've crossed the halfway point. I'm not sure how many season or episodes there are in this season, but TJ does say in this episode, you're at the halfway point. I'm thinking that we're maybe in a 10-episode season, so maybe we've just now crossed into the back half. One way or the other, we're at least in the middle, if not approaching the end game. And there is a lot to go talk about here. There is a lot of the same major storylines of the season continue throughout this episode. Many, many great things to get to, including the I don't know, I'm watching these early enough that there isn't a lot of social media chatter yet by midday on Wednesday about the episode, but I'm interested to see if people are as shocked by production's decision at the end of this episode as I was. We will, of course, talk about that. All the storylines, the awards, and the power rankings. First, power rankings where we're going joint. It's an individual game, and we're going from 1 to 16 all the way in kind of tiers who's left. That'll be at the end of the pod. Only programming reminders is All Stars 4 will continue with coverage on Wednesdays, usually around midday. Weekends, we will be hitting Survivor, the last couple episodes of the season coming up of what has been an absolutely unbelievable season. I haven't been this excited to watch Survivor live in a long time on Wednesday night. Now, I don't always get to watch it live because usually the challenge is airing. So I am loving right now this wake up on a Wednesday, watch All Stars 4, close out my Wednesday night watching Survivor 46. It's amazing. I love it. I wish it would go on for many more than the next 2 or 3 weeks, whatever we got left. But really enjoying it while it lasts. Thanks as always for being here. Follow, subscribe wherever you are watching. DMs are open on Instagram if you want to chat, challenge, comments as well here on YouTube. Without further ado, let's dive in. All Stars 4, Episode 6. Here we go. A traditional walk through the episode is what we're going to do here because there are many things to talk about with each segment of the show. We open with the opening house segment pretty quick, but a good chunk of things to discuss real quick. Kara is very aware that no one wants to run a final with her. She kind of knew that before, but now she's realizing, no, it's not just like maybe my friend Cam doesn't want to run the final with me. It's like maybe everyone in the house doesn't want to run the final with me. And we're starting to feel the weight of this individual game and knowing that there is one individual winner, which, if you remember, is somewhat different than some of the individual winners we've had in the past. All Stars 1, I believe they knew from the start. I don't remember if they knew from the start or if they were told at the final, but Kara's, win on Vendettas was famously, they did not know until the final that there was only going to be the one winner. So it did change. You know, the game wasn't played with that in mind the way here it is being played with it in mind. And everyone has the same thing on their mind. Kara's going to whoop our ass if we go to a final with her. And the casting of the season mixed with the individual format, while I have a lot of issues with the individual format, we won't discuss that today. I have before. By the end of the season, I'm sure I'll talk about it multiple more times. But the mix of who they casted in this individual season was really genius to build this Kara versus everyone story. Make her the underdog again. I think that was very smart on their part. They knew what they were doing. They knew how they were getting themselves in. Because when they put this cast together, we said it at the preseason. We said it at this moment we saw the cast a year and a half ago, whenever it was. Like, damn, this women's side is stacked. And the men's side is, for an All-Star season, especially coming off All-Stars 3, where the men's side was really stacked, not the craziest cast list we've ever seen as far as the competition goes, because respectfully, you know, there was probably three men coming in that were kind of the pseudo favorites at the top of most people's power rankings. That was Tony, Leroy, and Brad. And respectfully to Tony and Leroy, they haven't won before. And there are some reasons, some holes in the game as to maybe why. And so Brad was really the only one in the conversation for the biggest threat in the house alongside of Kara and Rachel while she was still in the house. I feel like those three were, everyone looks around, and maybe not even Brad. We'll talk about him later in the episode. Is just no one worried that the guy who continues to come in second all the time, including the last All-Star season, isn't going to dominate a final? We'll talk that later. But they casted it really perfectly to be like, we need Kara to kind of be, we want her story and her comeback to be the underdog again. The Kara versus everyone. We can all root for her, whether everyone is rooting for her. Maybe production didn't think like, if Cam and Leroy are on the other side, we're going to have a pretty split audience here as to who's the favorite here, who's the one we're all pulling for. Then the other thing from the early part of the house, we get Ryan talking. He's playing the middle of the game. And there was something that I really appreciated here. Ryan says via confessional, you know, I'm good at this. I've done this a bunch of times. I'm used to playing the middle and I know how to do it. And I appreciate when someone references like, I can do this in this game. I have a history of doing this in the game, when it's actually true. And so I feel like I need to call out and thank Ryan for saying something that's actually true. Because I feel like at least half, if not more of the time, someone in a confessional in one of these is like, I'm good at this, or I'm known for that, or I've done this before. It's like, are you good at that? Are you known for that? Were you in that situation once before in the 8 seasons you've done? You know, it doesn't always feel warranted. It feels like we've got to say something in the confessional booth. So this is the story I'll try to tell. So I liked this one. I was like, yeah, this is what Ryan is actually known for more or less in my book, is he's got a really good social political game. And he's one of the few that can do the, I am friends with everyone and I can get away with it card. Like other people who have tried that in the past, it doesn't always work. You know, they can't quite get to the end of the game playing both sides. And he has multiple times gotten right to the very end. He's, you know, been out right at the end because of it a couple times. I think the most famous example of this, I think the best example of him playing both sides, was Fresh Meat 2, where he very, very adeptly, he and Jen, which is why it ended up kind of coming back to bite one of them, that being Ryan right at the very end, is he and Jen played perfectly in the middle. I'm friends with everyone. These two big factions, this big rivalry is on either side of this season. We'll play in the middle. And then they basically had an agreement. If the numbers are what the numbers are at the end, the two of us that have done this together will go into the last elimination. They do. And Jen and Noor take out Ryan and Teresa. But it was a really masterful, well played. And so I think Ryan is doing a great job here again of playing that middle ground that no one else in the house seems to be able to pull off right now. They're kind of picking sides. We'll talk about that in a minute. But real quick, while we mention Fresh Meat 2, is this season kind of weirdly is starting to become like Fresh Meat 2 to me, completely different characters, but in similar roles. There obviously isn't the vitriol between Kara versus Cam and Leroy, who are actual friends. And I think outside of the game, this won't affect their friendship in any way, versus Kenny versus Wes and Evelyn, who actually hated that guy. So that's a little different, but there is some dynamic here of like, it's Kara versus Cam and Leroy's on Cam's side, but Leroy would be willing to work with Kara if Cam wasn't there. And on Fresh Meat 2, we had Kenny versus Wes. And versus Evelyn, but Evelyn coming off a season where she did regrettably work with Kenny right at the end to win a season. So you've got that kind of same dynamic. No one in the house wants to take part in this rivalry, in this kind of battle, but at the same time, they don't want to try to take out both sides. They don't really want to work hard enough to build something separate. So they just go along with it. That happened on both seasons. Brad is kind of the Landon of the season in my mind then, of like, he's not really a part of it. He's just over there. And everyone's like, occasionally like, oh yeah, that guy's really good though. He's not really a part of all this stuff we're doing, but he is really good. Maybe he'll just win at the end. And Laurel is hooking up on this season the same as she was on Fresh Meat 2. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities. That's all I'm saying. Next up is the Daily Challenge. they finally get to do pairs. Fantastic. They get to pick their pairs. So much better. It's just, it's so good. Every time, I wish all of them would be pairs. Even as good as some of the daily challenge games have been the last few episodes, I like pairs much more than I like the teams. I like picking much more than the random. You all know this. I don't have to get into it. But what I will get into is one piece of strategy. I thought it was just laying there. The moment he says pairs, I'm like, Kara, pick Leroy. Say immediately, Leroy, I want to partner with you. Just see what he made, put him on the spot. See what he says. See what Cam says to that. Because Kara's goal here is like, I don't want Leroy in the bottom. And it's the only place that they're on the same page. That Leroy, Cam, and Kara kind of are on the same page. It's like, well, now Leroy can be out of the bottom. We'd like him to win, honestly, or at least be in the middle group, have some power. We don't need him to go and get Cam Star. Cam will do that for herself. And so Kara should have been like, olive branch, I'll partner with Leroy. We can win. At worst, we'll get in the middle group. We'll be a really good team, really strong, really dominant. See if he says yes. I don't know if he would have said yes. Maybe. I don't know. Often you can do it and be like, hey, Ace is usually my partner. Cam's awesome. Ace is awesome. Like, one time, why don't you guys get together? I think it could have worked. I think it would have been interesting and maybe changed the dynamic of the alliance in the house, maybe bring them back together a little bit. But obviously it did not take place. What did take place in the picking of the partners is Kara went with her Braun quote pick in Jay over Ace, which I found fascinating for a couple of reasons. One, just huge look for Jay to be like, hey, the best person in the house, Kara, is out here being like, I got to pick a partner. And I for this one, I want kind of my strength athlete. I want Jay. That's an amazing spot for this guy to be six episodes into his comeback season. That's amazing. Just incredible showing for Jay so far halfway through the season. It also, though, was interesting because, yes, Nicole then gets partnered with Ace, who I have no idea if she's spoken a word to the entire season or not. But it's just fascinating that, like, Nicole and Jay are super duper tight. I think we hear them say at one point this, like, they talk every day, like all the time. Like, they're legit good friends. And so her, like, having, you know, I don't know if there was a more of a back and forth there that we don't get to see, but if I'm her, I'm like, wait a minute. You're my partner, but if Kara wants you to be your partner, you're down to just step away and be hers. Or if there was, you know, obviously it ultimately works out for her, but if there was like a, well, there could always be a puzzle thrown in on this, and I'd rather have Ace than you in this situation. This seems like a nice balance for us of like brain and brawn in two teams versus one team that maybe wouldn't have had one side of that. Although I think Jay can do the puzzles too. So I don't know. Look out for Jay. OGs are together all the way on this one. So that was another little interesting change from the last time we saw partners is Avery is with Ryan instead of Adam with Flora. All three of, you know, the most OG men and the most OG women, all three are partnered together on either side. And then Brad, who doesn't have Rachel there anymore, moves to Laurel. And that was interesting. I don't know if her and him and Kara don't get along, don't like each other, or just like indifferent and not interested in being partners. I don't know. Brad now is, you know, moved down from Rachel to Laurel and still doesn't seem to have any interest in Kara nor vice versa. So that was interesting. The game itself, so fucking fun. So good. Unbelievable. Do it every season. Playing musical chairs across an entire soccer stadium. Unbelievable idea. So great. Really fun. I wish that was the whole game, honestly. It was just one big game of musical chairs until the end somehow. But it was fantastic. I loved it. The advantage needed to be more, a minute at least, maybe even longer. It should have been like a legitimate advantage. Like, unless you really screw up the puzzle, you should be one of the teams that is in this to win it. Because 30 seconds wasn't that long. Didn't make that big of a difference in the grand scheme compared to we just ran like four more laps around this place than the team like Laurel and Brad, who, you know, obviously don't do well in the end, but could have. And it would have seemed like, oh, yeah, it would have kind of seemed nicer to just sit out all the running before doing the one run and puzzle that matters. As far as how people did, don't sleep on Ace. He does enough sleeping for all of us, clearly, by we see Ace in places early in the episode, which was fantastic. And one of those, he was sleeping like knees on the ground, chest and head on the couch. Very odd position to be sleeping in. I don't know if that was just for fun for the camera or if he actually did somehow fall asleep in that position. I hope both somehow is true. Don't sleep on him, though. He, you know, it is looking real solid. He can do the puzzles, and he seems like he still, I mean, he does so much, like his everyday life is doing a lot of outdoor work, manual labor type of stuff, where I'm like, he's in that kind, you know, that kind of shape. And I think he might just have the endurance and not be affected by like, oh, it's really hot on the day of the final, like whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So don't sleep on Ace. Don't sleep on Nicole. If she can get a partner during most of the final. I still, the same reservation is there. This is a nice showing for Nicole, but it also proves out the point of, hey, yeah, if she has a partner to do the puzzles, then like she's fantastic at all the other parts, but the puzzles are the biggest part. And at some point at the end of an individual final, I'm guessing you're going to have to do one, if not a series of puzzles and checkpoints on your own. And I just don't trust that she can do that. And then finally, Derek was, have we never got to see Derek in a daily challenge where he gets to run full on run. Am I just forgetting? State champ in hurdles, two times state champ in hurdles is, I believe, what he says. Is that real? Because he certainly is faster than everyone. When they take off sprinting, he's out way ahead. And yeah, it's noted. I did not know this was a thing. I did not know this was in his background. I'm sure it at least maybe came up like on Real World Cancun, but hell, I watched that live one time whenever that aired, which was a very long time ago. I certainly don't remember anything that we learned about these people on it. So noted, Derek, very good runner. Maybe that matters if we can get him into a final for the first time. Definitely something to be reckoned with. Next up, we've got the nominations. We have the full house segment. Quick shout outs before we do the nomination. Shout out to Laurel and Nicole having sex in or around the hot tub and or sauna or whatever. I feel like they reference hot tub and sauna at some point. I don't know. Maybe the timestamps are wrong too, but 2 hours, you know, 1 to 3 a.m. Fantastic stuff. Shout out also to Veronica and Ryan for being awake and or getting out of bed to come down and give us the fun moment in the kitchen that we're led to believe is at 3 a.m. Maybe it's not, but either way, good job on them being professional reality TV cast members and knowing, you know, this scene needs to be more than just the two of them. We need to go discover them and poke fun at them and have some fun. All good. And shout out to Brad for walking around in a much too small towel just to show off his naked body for no reason. Fantastic stuff. All great. Not really any more discussion needed. Let's get to the nominations or the strategy in general. Ace is the one person that seems to be still playing smart in this game, or at least in this moment is playing smart. He, you know, offers up, why don't we do Leroy versus Brad? Because those are clearly the two top guys left. So let's knock another one out. Last week we knocked out a, you know, Brandon versus Leroy, get one of them out of here. This week, why don't we do Leroy or Brad? Get one of them out of here. And there isn't really even a discussion about this at all, ever. And that's kind of shocking. Keefla versus Steve, like the only one that benefits is it keeps Leroy's star safe. Like that's it. That's the only person that it benefits in the game, really, is that Leroy's star can't be stolen then. I understand not gifting Brad a star if you feel like if we put Brad in there, he gets a star and we don't want Brad to have a star. So, but I didn't even hear anyone say that. Maybe we're just not seeing any of that because there's other storylines to cover. I don't know. But it seemed like Ace was on the right track here, and I thought there would be some more traction to that discussion of should we put those two in versus each other. Cam is hilarious, okay? Her game is so out front and obvious, and I'm good with it. I understand the situation and why. She's literally, you know, doing the breast milk while they're freezing it, shipping it to Kingston. She's fine if she's eliminated any second of this game to go back to her at the time newborn, basically child. So I get why she's like, if there's ever a time to just be upfront and obvious, it's now. We've covered it. But this one, it just takes the cake. The way she tells Jay, I heard my name, so I'll just make it easy. You could throw me in versus Tina. It'll be fine. I know everyone's saying my name. Go ahead. And it's just like, no one's saying your name. Everyone's actually saying the exact opposite. Let's not let Cam in. But just the way she tells Jay that of like, look, I heard everyone saying my name, so it's fine. I'll make it easy on you. Throw me and Tina in there. As if the goal isn't throw me and Tina in there so I can get my goddamn star. Okay. It's fantastic. I loved every second of it. And then even more, I love in the confessional, her being like, I know it's, you know, it could be Laurel or Tina, but they're basically the same. I'll go up against either one, but I'll do Tina for now. And it's like, you're acting as if Laurel and Tina are in the same elimination weight class. and they are not. Laurel is in the top class, and Tina in 2024 is not in the top class. Let's be kind, because Tina is an absolute legend and star, and I love her to death. But yeah, so we see right through Cam, and she knows we all see through it. She's just, you know, there. You got to say it the way you got to say it in here. But I found it hilarious and loved it. And then we get to the actual nomination itself, and Kara just forces people to vote for her. Just forces their hand, makes them do exactly what she wants, even though they all open with basically saying, we don't want to do what you want. And Ryan and Flora are willing to stand on that. And Jay, Avery, and Adam, not so much. It's kind of impressive. Is obvious as it is, and as it leads to the shit talking afterwards and others being like, this is kind of annoying and whatever. Too bad. They did what she wanted. So she still got her goal executed in this. And it's pretty impressive that she bullies Jay and Avery and kind of Adam too. Adam was the one that opened the whole thing with like, he's playing as if he still has a star. I think in his mind, I just want the precedent to be there so that if and when I get my star back, I have a leg to stand on holding the precedent of, if there's two star holders available, we throw them in versus each other. We protect the other stars that are out there. So he opens the whole thing on the guy side with like, let's go with the two star holders. So he isn't as big of a pushover for Kara, who like is like, I want to put the two star holders in there. And AKA, I also just don't want Cam to go in there. I want to protect my own. So he's not pushed over as much, but Avery and Jay very much are just completely balled over by Kara and like, you're going to do what I want. The Flora and Nicole talking shit afterwards is great. Flora, icon, casting new. We do need to trust them sometimes. Yes, we can get all upset when our favorite person isn't there, when our least favorite person is there for too many seasons in a row, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes they know these people. They've had the conversations. They've reached out and talked to the OGs and know to some degree what they're going to get out of bringing someone back for the first time in a decade or two decades or plus in this situation. And they knew Flora is just going to be absolutely fucking amazing on this show, whether she can do any of the challenges or not. And she has been. And it's fantastic. Just her being like, that was stupid. And why did everyone do that? And fuck this. I don't like how she's acting. And Nicole just sitting there being like, yep, I'm right there with you. Then we're off to the arena where Ace and his beautiful outfit stand proudly on the winner's dais. The game that is explained to them, it's really fun. It's really interesting. I wish there would have maybe been multiple rounds, maybe make this a best out of three. I'm not sure how long it took. It didn't seem like it took that long on either one. Seemed like it would have been well within the bounds of what they do in challenge eliminations to do three rounds of this. If you can do three rounds of pole wrestle and whatnot, you can do three rounds of this. It's not that bad. If you can do not so fast for 40 plus minutes, you could do this a couple rounds. Because there was clear strategy learned from the experience. And I don't know if Kiefla would have been able to adapt. Steve definitely figured the strategy out kind of midway through, almost on accident. And then Adam kind of helped him shouting from the side. Nicole didn't seem to pick up on said strategy, but also didn't need to. So maybe she did and was just like, I can kind of toss Jasmine around here. It's fine. But let's talk about how Nicole got in there in the first place, because I'm shocked. I can't wait to see if others are shocked, if everyone's okay with this, not okay with this. Nicole says, I want to play. I'm going to throw myself in. And we do get we'd kind of confirmed it before, but actual full-blown confirmation of you can pick. It's not, you know, whatever. You get to pick. You get to pick which are the two people that you are taking the place of. So you get to pick your matchup, essentially. And she picks Veronica. She picks, I'm going to go against Veronica. I'm going to save Jasmine. And she walks down in there. She stands next to TJ. And they send Jasmine back up to the dais. And that should be it. That's the decision. They give them time to negotiate, to talk it out. TJ says pick, and she picks, and she makes the move. And she should have to stand on it. She should have to stick with it. Jasmine should be safe. Veronica should be out of this game. Not saying that because I dislike Veronica. Quite the opposite. But that was the choice made. And I was shocked when they allow her to switch. Absolutely shocked. I don't think they should have done that. I don't think it should be allowed. And I think it just absolutely sucks. And Jasmine got robbed here. And the other thing about it is, like, yes, absolute hats off to Veronica yet again. One of the best, you know, the part of her game that has translated 25 years later, 23 years later. When did she when she was on season, 23 years later, is that she can still absolutely manipulate someone in a one-on-one conversation to do what she wants and get her way and argue very well and strategize very well and politic very well. And so absolute hats off to her. Quite the move to convince Nicole in that moment to switch. Because, yes, Nicole was just like, the like, you're working with Kara, so I want to go against you. And, you know, was obviously ridiculous and not true. But it's not like Veronica had the ability in that moment to say, that's not true. She is. You picked the wrong one. She's the one working with Kara. Because Jasmine's not working with Kara. Obviously, we saw last episode. We very well know. Jasmine ain't. That's public enemy number two behind Cam for Kara right now. And so, yeah, sure, you could be like, hey, I'm not working with her. And Nicole should have been like, oh, well, sorry, but like, it's not like Jasmine isn't either. So it's not like there's, you know, flipping you makes a big difference as far as what my goal really was here was to win and to not help Kara. And neither, you know, neither side would have done that. So they shouldn't have done it, I don't think. And now Jasmine's gone instead of Veronica, because I think Nicole beats either of them. And quick, also a little sidebar. I think Cam should maybe secretly be thanking Kara, because I think Nicole beats Cam in this. And now, if it was Cam versus Tina and Nicole throws herself in, is she replacing Cam? Yes, she is. So I don't think there was a machination here that ends up Nicole throws herself in versus Cam. But somehow, some way, if that maybe would have happened. I don't think Cam was coming out of this in any possible way with getting to play and also winning the game. So, you know, not the worst thing in the world there. Keefla is eliminated by Steve. Great showing from Steve. He does figure out the strategy of like, we're not tugging on the rope. We're going to wrestle. And then I'm going to hold you on the ground and kick the rope over with my feet until it's basically all the way over. And then I'll let go and flip the last little piece. That's definitely the strategy, is just actually wrestle the other person and do it with your feet. If you're bigger, if you can hold the other person down, that is, obviously. Keefla's the man. So happy we got to see him again. It was unbelievable to have him back this long, this big of a break, breaks the record for the longest break, and performs really, really well. He seemed to absolutely love it, cherish it. It meant so much to him. We saw it on the show. We've heard it in a couple podcasts he's done recently, and you know, as a fan of the show, it's nice to see that it really does matter that much to the people on it, because you hope that it does, because it matters so much to us just watching it. And so love Keefla to death. Love that he was there. Great showing from him. Same to Jasmine again. I think she got screwed. She was great as always this season. She is fantastic. Every time she's ever been on our television screens, every season she has been on of this show, Real World or otherwise, confessionals, the honesty around the house, the whole thing. Unbelievable. Hats off to her. Hope to see her again very soon. And then we got the star steal. Steve, you know, has now two stars, got to give one out, and decides to give it to Ace over Adam, who he is definitely working with both. But Adam was kind of his, you know, pseudo number one. Adam calls him the brother from another mother in this episode. And, you know, he says, Adam, I want to run the final with you, but it's not time to give you your star right now. It seems like he's inferring in that, like, it's too much of a target. We can't have our whole alliance being the star holders. There needs to be someone there whose star isn't one of ours that is up for grabs. And if that's the case, then give it to Derek or Ryan, the way kind of Kara did to Jasmine last week of like, I got to give it to someone I'm not working with, someone that I want, that if a star has to continue to get stolen, I'm okay with it getting stolen from that. I basically want this third star out there just rotating through people that I don't care about as far as my alliance. And then you kind of got two spots for you and one person to have the stars that you try to hold on to and protect. And so the fact that he gives it to Ace, who is the third member of that little alliance there, it's like, well, then you might as well have just given it to Adam. You kind of really did tell Adam Ace is now ahead of you in the pecking order. So that was an interesting decision. I'm interested to see the fallout from that. But Ace, my guy Ace, one of my all-time favorites, has a star, has a shot at a final, and I am thrilled. Best quote leads the awards off, as it always does. Two strong nominees here. Jasmine, of course. And this one was quote plus the pause. Okay, so it's quote, apparently I'm upsetting her by having friends. Can we say hypocrite much? Go fuck yourself. And then a pause, and then a bend down and picks up the drink, takes a sip, puts the drink down, looks back at the camera and says, next question. Unbelievable. She's just so good. She's so, so good. If her and Flora want to join up on the, like, the alternate cast of future seasons of the show, they don't have to put them on the cast, but like the simulcast, you can watch the regular version, or you can watch Jasmine and Flora commenting on everything as it's happening and just doing continuous confessionals. I am here for it. Second nominee, Cam, quote, look, I'm not about to sit here and try to decode Nicole's thoughts because I can barely understand what Nicole says. So I know for damn sure I can't understand what she thinks, end quote. That is cold. That is funny. That is brilliant. Love it. But it's probably the best. It's the best quote, but I'm giving this to Jasmine because she just left the game. And I want to acknowledge that the confessional queen that she is. Best moment. I had a lot of fun with the Steve building the workout equipment out of the duct tape and zip ties that don't ask questions, but he has in his bag with him at all times, I guess. Steve is just a fascinating individual, and he's so much fun and so interesting to me. But the Steve in the Wild or Aces in Places little thing that we get is really good. That's nominee number one. Nominee number two, the phase one of the Daily Challenge, musical chairs. It was really fantastic. Liked it a lot. Third, Flora talking shit about Kara was just great. And just, again, love Flora. Fourth, Ace's outfit and TJ's acknowledgement of Ace's outfit and him, his little quote about it. Fantastic. And then fifth and finally, the biggest moment of the episode, for sure. Nicole changing her mind in the fact that they allow it is the moment of the episode, hands down, because I was stunned by it. And obviously it completely changes the game because it changed who left in this episode. Again, assuming Nicole would have beat Veronica, but I think I feel okay assuming that as well. Strategy. I don't think I can give out a best strategy award this week. I mean, Ace had the right idea of like, let's put Brad and Leroy in there, but no one went for it. So it's like, it's a great thought, but no action was taken after it. So I don't know if I can give that. You know, Veronica, I guess we give it to Veronica for talking her way out of an elimination and being maybe anyone else not named Veronica wouldn't have been, they production would have been like, no, you already picked. But maybe it's because it's the original face of the franchise, the queen herself, Veronica, that they allowed it. I don't know. But I guess we give it to her because, yeah, she got herself out of an elimination that she was supposed to be a part of. So that's good, I guess. MVP of the episode, Ace, Keefla, Jasmine, Kara, and Nicole all get votes. I'm giving it to Steve, though. I'm giving it to Steve. He's fantastic every time he's on the screen. He knows how to make good TV. You know, for the second time now, he wins an elimination and like knows you got to give a little speech of some kind and make it funny. He holds the star up each time he picks one up, kind of examines it, the whole thing, the Steve in the Wild at the beginning, all of it. I'm giving the MVP to Steve. Now we close out with the power rankings. And for the first time of the season, we're not doing male and female. We're bringing them all into one list. We're going top to bottom, 1 to 16. And I do have them in order, but I also have them in tiers. I've got four tiers going here. So let's start at the bottom. Let's start at the bottom. You know, it's a little more interesting that way. I've got Flora, Tina, Veronica, 16, 15, 14, and that's one tier. Respectfully to three absolute queens, absolute fantastic cast members. Love them to death so much. But I don't think they have any 0% chance of winning the game. I don't think they're winning a final. I don't think there's any combination of six people to run the final against that they would pull out the win. They're in the bottom tier. Next tier up, Ryan, Ace, Cam, and Avery at the 10th spot leading this tier. I'm not saying 0% chance they can win, but they've got to have a specific group of six at the end. And Ace is the only one of these four that even has a star right now to even get him in that final versus, but he needs to do some maneuvering of who that final would be versus. So Ryan, Ace, Cam, and Avery are kind of tier two for me in 10th through 13th. Then the second group or the second last tier from 9th to 5th, I've got Steve, Derek, Adam, Nicole, and Jay. I think all of these people could win a final. I think they probably still need to get two or all of even maybe the top four people here that I've got not there in the final with them. But if we could run the final without the top four folks on my list here, I think these five, again, Jay, Nicole, Adam, Derek, and Steve from fifth to ninth would be the favorites in at final, but not against my top four. Laurel fourth, Brad third, Cara two, Leroy one. I do think this is starting to set up for Leroy really well. Again, Brad doesn't have the star. Leroy does. I think, you know, Cara is going to be the real true target, where Leroy might have, you know, him and Cam do seem to kind of be winning the house over here, as strong armed and obvious as it is, to maybe get his protected. And I just, in a final, I think these four experience and current athletic abilities combined, I think, you know, definitely have to be the four favorites. So Leroy, Cara, Brad, Laurel, Jay, Nicole, Adam, Derek, Steve, Avery, Cam, Ace, Ryan, and Veronica, Tina, Flora at the bottom. Prediction-wise, I'm thinking it's all double eliminations the rest of the way. So next week, another double elim. I think if we get trivia next week, trivia over water, it's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely great. And so since we know it's trivia, I'm going to go ahead and say Veronica's going to win on the women's side. I assume they'll still have a male and female winner of the trivia so that there's two people to be able to possibly throw themselves into elimination. Veronica wins on the women's side, and I think Steve or Derek wins the trivia on the men's side. Derek's one, two. I'm going to go Steve. I'm going to go Steve and Veronica. That's the prediction for the trivia winners. And then I think Laurel and Cam both will be campaigning to get into elimination. This was the first episode we started to see Cam really campaign for that elimination, for that shot. And I think that's going to finally start to ramp up. I think we might even get to see our first trivia. Isn't the easiest one for it to happen, but maybe the week after we might see the first daily, where as soon as someone has won, other people decide, well, if I can't win, I'm quitting. I'm trying to get last here. I'm trying to, you know, just trying to get into an elimination somehow, some way. I think that starts next week with Laurel and Cam both campaigning to let me get in there, let me earn a star. That's all I've got for episode 6. Can't wait for episode 7. Can't wait for the rest of the season. It's been a lot of fun thus far as advertised. I think it's going to be a really good next couple of episodes, if not the full end to the end of the season. Thank you as always for being here. DMs are open on Instagram, comments on YouTube, subscribe wherever you are listening. Survivor fans, check back for Tony and I this weekend. Otherwise, until next week, peace.